First John chapter 2. Tonight we'll be on 20 and 21. I intended to go through 23, but... Alright, let's start off. Let's start off at verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Now verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Okay, so he's moving on here. Last week he's talking to little children about telling it's the last hour, that Antichrist is coming. Even now, among the church, among us, many Antichrists are around teaching false doctrines. Okay, and we talked about how important it is that we're in the Word of God, that we know it, so that when we hear one of these false prophets, these Antichrists, teaching something that's not right, we know it, because it doesn't line up the Word of God, because we know the Word of God, it's on our hearts. Right? And as we talked about last week, it's very important then, since they are among us, they're out there teaching blasphemy, denying Christ. Okay, it's very important then that we know the Word of God, that we're reading it. Okay? That's our source of strength. That's our source of life. Okay? So verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Okay, the word anointing, or actually it's unction. Okay, the Greek, it's chrisma, and it means an unguent or a smearing. Okay, the special endowment, the chrism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, ancient kings and priests were consecrated to their office by pouring oil on their heads. Okay, and rub it on. Okay. So the expression to anoint, therefore, comes to mean to consecrate to office or to set apart to some public work. Okay? Christians in the New Testament are described as kings, priests, and as a what? A royal priesthood. Okay? And hence they are represented as anointed. Okay? Or as endowed with those graces of the Spirit of which anointing was the emblem. Okay? So, Holy One, okay, but you have an anointing. Okay? There's many Antichrists out there, of which they are not of us. John's saying, but you church, you believers, you have an anointing. You have an unction. Okay? From who? From the Holy One. Okay? And that is Christ. You have an unction, an anointing from Christ. Okay, Acts 3:14 says, just different verses that talk about the Holy One. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Okay, this was talking about where they wanted to release Barabbas instead of Christ. They wanted a murderer to be released. Okay, Mark 1:24 says, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. This is about a man who was possessed by demons. Okay, so here he's calling him, you are the Holy One of God. Okay, so believers, John is telling his believers here, You have an anointing. And not just any anointing. Okay? This is not one where in the old days where they actually poured it on the priests and kings and smeared them down. But this is anointing from Christ. The Christ. Not some antichrist. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Okay? And since then you have an anointing. Okay? You know all things, or better translated, you know all. Okay? Because remember, John has just talked about many antichrists who are among us. Okay? But again, they were never truly of us. And because we have an anointing from the Holy One and the Holy Spirit, if you are a believer living inside of us, we know the truth. It is in us. It was in them that John is writing to. Okay? You have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know the truth. So what is John's point here? He just finishes telling us that the world is passing away. Do not love the world. Do not love the things of the world. Okay? The world is passing away. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Then he's saying, little children, it's the last hour. And you know that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists are here. They're among us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know the truth. You know it. You know the truth. What's his point then? Anyone?
That we know God's truth.
That we know God's truth, yes. Anyone else? Okay, he's saying, listen, you know the truth. So do not let these men, these Gnostics, these Antichrists who are among us, deceive us or seduce us by their, you know, their flattering speech or their persuasive words, because they can sound pretty convincing, as Paul warns us in Colossians. They can sound pretty convincing. I use all these persuasive words, he says. But you know the truth. So do not be deceived. Do not let them seduce you with their flattering speech. But stand strong. Why? Because you have an anointing from the Holy One. You know the truth. A verse I quoted last week, that we must test spirits, okay? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And what are the false prophets doing in the world? Preaching false doctrine. False doctrine, which is why they're called false prophets. Okay? And he tells, being that a believer has the Holy Spirit in them, okay? For the disciples, he says, John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Here he's telling them, as the New Testament's going to be written down, these apostles are going to write down, oh, I don't know, how can I remember everything Jesus told me? I don't have the memory. He tells them, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You see, the Holy Spirit is also our Helper. Okay? And he is also the one who will guide us and convict us and lead us and will send to our brains, red flag, red flag, what you're hearing is false. Okay? John 16:13a. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. See, the Spirit is the truth. And he will therefore guide you into truth. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. The same anointing teaches you concerning all things. Spurgeon writes this, "An experimental knowledge of the truth is the best preservative against error." Listen to that again. An experimental knowledge of the truth is the best preservative against error. See, if one is saved and they have the Spirit living inside of us, they're going to have a longing to be in the Word, to know what's in the Word, to know how I should act, talk, think. And that same Spirit that will teach us all things will guide us and lead us and will preserve us against error, against these false prophets, against these antichrists that John is talking about. Verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Okay? The word know here, it's edu. And I know I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but it's edu, and it means the primary verb used only in certain past tenses. Okay? And it's properly to see by implication. Okay? To be aware, to behold, to consider, to have knowledge of, to look on and perceive, to be sure, to understand. In other words, when they're hearing something, okay, whether it's from a false prophet or from the truth, they know. They know. And here he's telling them, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but you know the truth. You absolutely 100% know the truth. And for some of these writers, some of these people that John is writing to, at the beginning of the chapter, they've looked upon. They've actually got to see Christ. Our eyes have seen. Our hands have handled. So they know the truth. They've been taught well. So, what truth is he talking about here? The Word?
Gospel.
Gospel? Yes. Okay. Remember, he's talking about... Go ahead.
Christ.
Okay? You know the truth. You know the Christ. The Head. Jesus. As opposed to the false teachings of the Antichrist. The word truth is aletheia, and it means simply true. That's the Greek word. It's aletheia, and it just simply means true. As opposed to false or you know, semi-true, but true. It's true. Christ is true. In Christ, there is only truth. Remember earlier in John, Christ is light. Okay? For God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. No darkness. He is truth, and His Word is truth. And you know it, and you can discern false teachings. Why? Because the Spirit is inside of you. John is saying here. You know the truth. You know Christ. You know what He's done. You know what He's about. You know what He spoke. You know the truth, so live it. Pay attention to what these other guys are saying because they're among us. Listen carefully. Make sure you discern what you're hearing. Go home and study it. And that no lie is of the truth. Okay, he says here, you have anointing from the Holy One. You know all things. John is not writing to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And that no lie is of the truth. No lie. Remember, Christ is true. He is light. There's not even a hint of darkness, not even a hint of sin in Christ, in God. Nothing that He does, nothing that He says is of error, is wrong, but it's just and holy and true. Do you guys understand? Can anything false come from Christ?
No.
Okay? And John is saying here, you know the truth. So if we know the truth, and we know that no lie comes from the truth, how does that apply to us? If you guys know the truth, how does it apply to you?
Should let others know truth.
Should let others know truth. Okay, yes.
No lie should come from
you. No lie should come from you. Yes. What else? How should the truth affect our lifestyle? Say what? Yeah, you're on the right path. Okay.
Recognize false prophets.
Recognize false prophets. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
So we should be, if it's really true, then we should be living our life in accordance with it. If we believe it and it's true, then why would we live any other way than in accordance with it? To live any other way or to have any other thing in us would be falsehood. And anything that we hear from others that isn't in accordance with the truth must be false, no matter how good it sounds.
And that's his point here. Okay? These are not hard verses here. Okay? He's saying, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, from Christ. From Christ you have an anointing. Okay? And you know all. You can test the spirits because the Spirit lives inside of you. And He can discern whether or not something is right or wrong, truth or false. Okay? Furthermore, again, as I said last week, how important is it then that we're in our Bibles? Very. Because we want to be led by who? The Spirit. Okay, so let's continue on here. I kind of got off track here. But because you know the truth and that no lie is of the truth. And I underline this here, no lie. No lie is of the truth. No lie is of Christ. No lie is of God. No lie is of His gospel. Period. You know, you hear many people say, oh, that contradicts itself. The Bible is a contradiction. No, it's not. You just might not understand it. But no contradiction. No lie is of Christ. No lie is of His Word. Barnes writes this, no form of error, however plausible it may appear, however ingeniously it may be defended, and however much it may seem to be favorable to human virtue and happiness, can be founded in truth. You see, these false prophets, these antichrists, they're good. And what do I mean by they're good?
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. They're good liars.
They obviously know all of it, too. Like, I mean, they know you can't really talk against something unless you know everything about what you're talking against. So,
okay.
They have the knowledge of it.
Let me ask you. Who in here has had a Jehovah's Witness come knock on your door? Okay. They're very well trained, aren't they?
Yeah. They don't let down.
Very well trained. Okay? If the truth is in us, and if the Spirit is inside of us, should we not be just as trained? Because how can we test the spirits? How can we say to this person who's at our door, no, that's not right. And here, let me show you why. Otherwise, you're stumbling and bumbling. Oh, you know, well, sorry, I don't want to talk to you. You know, Jesus is God. Bye. I mean, we should know it, absolutely. And that's why I say that they are well trained. Okay, in fact, even said in the scripture that we read last week, what they come in what type of clothing? Sheep clothing. They're here to deceive. They're here to seduce. But their doctrine is all lie. Whereas the truth, there's not even a hint of lie. Not even a hint of error. It has more than just an appearance. It is the truth. Because you can come wrapped up in goody Christian and trick people, come in sheep's clothing, but inside it's all deceiving and lies.
What I was going to say was what's interesting is that these people come carrying a Bible and trying to quote the Word of God. And so we should certainly know how to show them that they are twisting it rather than using it as God intended. They're the ones that are misinterpreting it to bring it around.
Right.
We should know the Word better than they do.
We should know the Word better than they do.
When your enemy knows your playbook better than you do, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
Definitely. You got problems. And that is a problem in the church today. We don't know the Bible. We don't know what's in it. We don't even know what we believe. Why is that? Because we're just bumbling around in the world in which the world is passing away. We're more caught up in the world and the things of the world than in our God, than in truth. The truth that can save us. The world isn't going to save us. Barnes continues here. What the apostle says here has somewhat the aspect of a truism, but it contains a real truth of vital importance, and one which should have great influence in determining our minds in regard to any proposed opinion or doctrine. You see, because error often appears plausible, doesn't it? As Paul warned, like I said in Colossians, these men come with persuasive words, and they sound convincing. The guy coming knocking at your door, he can sound pretty convincing. They know what they're doing. And it's, hey, you know, this sounds right. He seems to know what he's talking about. He's obviously spent many, many hours studying. That sounds right. I'm going to believe that. You just fell into the trap. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free." But only this truth. Only Christ. Not the antichrists who are opposed to the Christ. Not the one who comes knocking at your door. Not the one up there who has flattering speech and persuasive words and sounds convincing. But you must test the spirits. And this truth shall set you free. Which truth?
This
truth. John is hammering home here in these verses very much that we are to not love the world, nor the things of the world. Okay? And that many antichrists are among them, among us today. Okay? And he's defending the people he's writing to almost in verse 20, telling them, as if they forgot, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You know the truth. Don't be caught up in these teachings. Do not be involved over here. You know the truth. You've been set free. Stand up. Stand strong in what you know, and that is Christ. Live it. Live in the truth. Live in the light. Because Christ is in the light. And that's where you want to be. Guys, you know, I know this is, I've been emphasizing this past few weeks, but it is so important to be in our Bibles. So important. Don't you want to know the truth? Don't you want to know how to defend your gospel? Don't you want to know right from wrong? Or do you want to let yourselves be deceived? Obviously not. Hopefully. Be in your Bibles. This is truth. And there's not even a hint of lie or falsehood or error in it. Be in it. Study it daily. Meditate on it. Amen? I love you guys very dearly. And I don't want someone else to come to you and deceive you. So I'm going to continue to hammer home to you, be in your Bibles. Because I want you guys to know that while you're out there doing whatever, and you hear someone preaching or teaching or saying something, I want you guys to be able to discern and know when something is not right. Because you've been in your Bibles. They're not getting dusty on the bookshelf. So I will continue to tell you to be in your Bibles. As I should. I mean, are we Christians? Then we should be in our Bibles. It's our spiritual bread. This is truth. And we're going to know as we study next week that, as he ended up in verse 21, that no lie is of the truth. And if you brought your Bible, I want you to underline that. No lie. No lie whatsoever is of the truth. No lie is of Christ. And if that's the case, if no lie is of Christ, then why are we letting ourselves be wrapped up in other things that are full of lies, that are full of empty hope? When everything we need is in Christ. All of our hope is in Christ. In Him there is no lie. Verse 22 says, who is a liar but he that denies Jesus is Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. That is a lie. Again, John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, we ask tonight, Lord, Father, that you would forgive us of our sins. Father, that over and over we fail to pick up our Bibles and we find excuses of why we don't have time to read your word, your truth. Lord, please forgive us. Help us to be the child that is striving to please our Father. Help us to be the child who is striving to be obedient to you. The child who is constantly picking up their Bible and reading it and meditating on it so that it is on our hearts and that we can become like you. That we can test the spirits to know whether they are false and whether they are not truly or not of God. Help us not to be lazy. Forgive us when we are, Lord. But help us to be that mature Christian who is constantly growing and growing in the knowledge and grace of you. For in you is truth. And there is not even a hint of lie or error or falsehood. God, give us a hunger to know you more, to know your word more. Give us the desires, Lord, to pick up our Bibles and to read. Lord, I pray that you would convict us, Lord, if we are failing to read our Bibles. For how can a Christian not read their Bible and study it over and over and over? Father, convict us, Lord. Help it never to be said of us that our Bible is dusty, that we don't know what's in it, we don't understand it. But help us to be the Christian that is in it and is understanding more and more of your truth, your holy, precious word. I pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.